Good morning, everybody. Grateful to have you in virtual attendance on this Lord's Day. We're grateful to have this opportunity to be together and to worship God. Before we get into that time of worship, though, there is a special welcoming video that we've pieced together today. We are in a unique situation in which we are apart together. And hope in some way that this video will allow you to feel that connectedness to our church family as really we are apart together. And so watch this, and I hope you feel the love coming from these families. Good to know that people haven't changed too much. Gene, you know I love you. Good to know that our family is staying connected. Even though we are apart, we're still together. I'd like for everybody, if you would like, to be a part of these video welcomes, a family welcome each Sunday morning in our worship assembly. If you'd like to be a part of that, we would love for that to happen as well. I can't contact everybody and make sure you get a personal invitation. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post the instructions for how to record this type of a video on your phone or on a computer camera. And I'll post the instructions to our church Facebook page. And you can access those instructions. And it really is as simple as a four-step process. Transferring it and sending it to me. You can do it on a phone or on a computer. And so if you would like your family to be a part of these introduction welcoming videos, which we would all love to see that happen, it's going to be a part of every Lord's Day in Sunday mornings. Access those directions on Facebook. You can contact me, message me, call the church office. I can give you those instructions and help anybody out who wants to be a part of this. I think it's a wonderful way for us to feel connected. And apart, while we're apart, we can feel connected together. So thank you for that, for all the families who participated. Again, I hope your heart is filled with the love of a church family. And let's transition into a time. Mr. Mark, one of our elders here, he has announcements for us. And so I'd ask that you would pay attention to those. And as he's coming up here, remember the hashtag, #WeShallAssemble. Take a photo, post it to our Facebook page, your Facebook page, and letting the world know that while we are in these unique circumstances, we're still prioritizing worship to our God.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to our service this morning, especially to all of our visitors that may be watching live with us or maybe even watching later. We really appreciate you participating with us along with our members, and hope that maybe when we're meeting physically here in the building in the weeks to come, that you would consider to come and to worship with us. Now, Governor Ivey is supposed to give us some additional guidelines this week. We're hoping that will be the case, and when she does, then the elders will be meeting and we'll be looking at what those guidelines are and how we can reassemble here physically in the weeks to come. We'll be working on that, and we'll communicate that to you as soon as we know and as soon as we have plans. And, you know, most likely, bear with us, most likely we'll have to do a phased type approach. We'll look at those guidelines and we'll determine what's best and how we can reassemble. Trust me, we want to be back here, but we want to make sure that your health is also continue to be put importance on that. So bear with us. Continue to participate in the videos, please, that Austin and Cody are doing such a good job with, the Bible studies. And I'd like to ask you this morning, if you haven't already, to go ahead and like or share the live streaming service this morning, and do the same thing for those videos on Sunday evenings and also on Wednesday night. It's an opportunity for us to share our congregation here with others. Please do that. Again, no one needs to be hurting right now. If you need something, please call one of the elders, call one of the ministers, call the office, call another member. There's no reason for you to sit in need. If you need something, please don't hesitate to reach out to one of us. We're one family right now. We want to help one another. Last week, I announced Don Williams' need at the Children's Christian Home. They're looking for Christian house parents for the boys' home. So again, if you're interested in that, you can contact Don Williams or Melinda Jackson, the social worker there. We do have several we need to remember in prayer, and I appreciate the email that's going out from the Harringtons each week to give us a list of those. Dee Williford, please remember Dee and her struggle with cancer. She's having her second round of chemo treatments this Tuesday at UAB. So let's really pray for the effective treatment of that chemo, that the tumors will shrink. So please remember her. She travels there. Christy Hinton had some outpatient surgery earlier in the week, and she's doing well at home, but please remember her. Our sister Carolyn Smith really and Buddy needs our prayers. Carolyn is at home, and hospice is involved, and the doctors believe she's probably has 7 or 10 days left on this earth. So please do remember her in a special way. Also, our brother Buddy, who sits beside her. Betty Black has been moved into Glenwood Nursing Home. So please remember Betty and Jimmy. Sonia Cox's grandmother, Georgia Anders, and Patty Hunt's mother, Willie Hunt, are at home now and still are very sick and have a ways to go. So please do remember them. Don't forget our sister Maddie Lyles is in Mitchell Hollingsworth. And again, sister Donna and Kathy are unable to see her because of the rules right now, but she is in a room with her sister, which is a blessing. So please do remember our sister Maddie. And Marty James has really had a pretty good bout with flu this past week, and he's recovering and he's doing better at home. But please do remember Marty. And again, as we've mentioned the last few weeks, we have several that have just lost loved ones over the last few weeks. We need to remember them. Especially, I ask you to remember Jared White. Jared White lost his dad this past Wednesday. His name is Ricky White in Red Bay, and he's had a long battle with Alzheimer's. And please do remember Jared and his family, his sister and his mother. And there'll be a memorial service held at a later date when we're through some of the restrictions. So please do remember Jared and his loss. Continue to remember Imogen and Marty and their loss, and also Brother Dale and his loss. Again, just struggling at a tough time. And our David Gooch, don't forget him and the tragic loss of his granddaughter earlier, a couple of months ago. We need to remember all of these right now that are still struggling with that. I'd like to read a passage this morning before we start our service. This goes along with Austin's sermon today. We'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's enter into our worship.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, we'll sing, When My Love to Christ Grows Weak.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to Thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shame, while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering, friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold His agony, suffered on the bitter tree.
As we gather together this morning, I want you to think about this one action. Have you ever had to practice self-restraint? Now, you know what self-restraint is, and I mean, you know, after you've eaten that second cookie that's been baked, and you look at the pan, and there's three more there, and you say, I don't need that fourth one. Self-restraint sometimes is challenging. Because a lot of the times, what do? We grab that fourth cookie, and we just go with it. Or what about this? What about whenever you're doing budgeting at home and you know that you don't need to spend the extra money, but you really, really, really want that item? So what do? Instead of restraining ourselves, a lot of the times we go out and we purchase these items. Self-restraint is a challenging thing that we struggle with, that God expects us to make sure that we keep in check. But I want you to see the most important case of self-restraint that has ever happened. As we think back to the life of our Lord, and we think back to that brutal moment in which his life was given for our behalf, do you remember in the garden when he prayed to God, "God, if there's any other way, please, let's go a different route." And God said no. And Jesus had the option of losing his ability to self-restrain, and he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free, but he decided to practice self-restraint. If you have your Bible, look at Luke chapter 23, verse 35. "And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up, offering him sour wine, saying, 'If you're a king of the Jews, save yourself.'" And it was at this moment that Jesus had been put in a hard spot where he would have to practice what we don't like to practice, called self-restraint. Because as he's hanging there from that cross, and people are looking up at him, and they're making fun of him, and they're hurling insults at him, and these officers are offering him wine, and they're mocking him and telling him, "Hey, if you're so powerful, go ahead, save yourself. You said you saved others, let's say you do it for yourself." And Jesus, at that point, looking out with blood running down his head, the pain that was going through his fleshly body, looking out at the people, he decided to practice self-restraint and to hold his power back and to die a painful death. And why did he do it? So you and I can have the privilege of practicing self-restraint spiritually, so that one day we could be surrounding the throne of God, hand in hand, worshiping and praising the Lamb who died on the cross, practicing self-restraint. This morning, as we partake of this bread, let's never forget the amount of restraint that Jesus put on his power, so that you and I could be here this morning, whether in person or in spirit, whether we're gathered together in one building or gathered together in our homes. Let us never forget the body that was given up, so that we have the opportunity to see what it means to practice self-restraint. Let us worship God this morning as we remember his body. Let's pray. Father God, we're humbled by your gift that you've given to us. We're humbled by the Lamb of God that was perfect and spotless, and it didn't have any blemishes, dear Father, and we're thankful that you saw fit to give up your Son so that we could be with you in heaven one day. We can never repay that gift, dear Father, but we can practice self-restraint when it comes to sin. We can continue to look at things that tempt us and say, "No, we're not going to, because Jesus showed us a better way." Dear Father, as we remember the body that was given on that cross, help us not to partake of this bread in an unworthy manner, but help us to put away the cares of the world and to focus back on that day in which he was hanging there on that cross. And instead of giving in to what his physical desire was, he chose to do your will. Help us to put away the cares of the world and focus on that sacrifice and to be grateful. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen. Would you bow with me again? Again, dear Father, as we continue in this memorial of the life and death and resurrection of your Son, as this is the most important thing that we can be doing at this time, dear Father, help us to focus on the blood that was dripping from our Savior as he hung from the cross. Help us to realize that it's by that blood our wounds are healed, our sins are forgiven, and our hope is sealed. Help us to always remember this blood and what it represents and what it did, and help us to always partake of it in a worthy manner unto you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. as we think about this idea of self-restraining, I want to remind you the fact that God loves a cheerful giver. Not only does God love a cheerful giver, but God loves an individual who sacrifices so that they can continue to work in the kingdom and also support the works that go out throughout the kingdom, whether that be in the local congregation or whether that be throughout the world abroad. Sometimes when we practice self-restraint, when it comes to spending and financial means, it can give us the opportunity to be able to give back to God a little bit more, to help to be able to do a little more things throughout the ministry. Even though we're not together in this place this morning, I want to remind you that we have multiple options for you to be able to contribute to the work of the Lord that goes on here throughout Florence Boulevard. We do have an app or a website called Tithely set up. If you go to our Florence Boulevard website, click on members, and then giving, it will direct you to the Tithely giving option, which is completely online. Also, if you would like, you may also mail in your check to the office here. Or if you happen to see one of us ministers or the elders, you can gladly call one of us and we'll try to help you to make sure that you have the opportunity to give. Maybe there's something that we can restrain ourselves from purchasing this week, that we can increase our giving to help the work of the Lord throughout the world. But God loves a cheerful giver, whether it be of our means financially, whether it be of our time, whether it be of our mental ability. God loves a cheerful giver, and I hope that you've purposed in your heart what you're going to give this morning. And I pray that maybe if you've already purposed in your heart, that maybe you'll choose to self-restrain from purchasing something, and maybe even choose to give a little bit more to the work of the Lord. But whatever it may be that you choose to give, give it with a cheerful heart, knowing that the money that you give will go to spreading the word of the Lord, whether it be here in the Shoals or across the world. Let's pray. Father God, as we give back to you this morning, we pray that you would be with each of us, that we've set aside a portion of our means that we can give back to you. Help us to give our means in faith, knowing that your word doesn't come back empty. Help us to be good stewards of the money that we will be receiving. Help us to be able to spread the word of God, whether it be here in the Shoals or across the world. Help us to never take these blessings for granted, but help us to always be cheerful in giving, knowing that our giving produces glory to you. And dear Father, help us to always give with our full heart as much as we can. We love you. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
I want to call today Transition Sunday. Transition Sunday. Why have I chosen to call today Transition Sunday? Here's why. I believe today needs to mark within each one of us a moment that we transition from simply coping with the change that we're faced with to conquering the change that we're faced with. You see, with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that we're more than conquerors. And you see, we don't just want to be people who cope with change in circumstances. We want to be people who conquer that change in our circumstances. And don't you want to live a life of conquering? But change is hard. And I almost put on a PowerPoint slide an image of four letters, C-H-A-N-N-G-E. Because to some people, change is a four-letter word. Why? What makes change so hard? Well, change causes me to alter bits and pieces of who I am. Change requires me to think inwardly of, can I adapt and can I get along with these changes? Change just makes some people feel uncomfortable. Change might even destroy my ability to feel confident in, trust in, or predict what might happen in the future because my schedule has been so similar. My lifestyle has been going on in the same way to the point that I can almost predict what's going to happen. Some people believe that change steals their peace, their trust, and their confidence. However, isn't change just a natural part of life? Change is a natural part of life. And it's happening all around us, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And as a natural part of life, we cannot hide from it. And being in the midst of the change, as we are right here and right now, my thought is this. Do you just simply want to survive change, or do you want to thrive in change? Because we can do one or the other, and it's our choice. Do you just want to cope with change, or do you want to conquer that change? Well, it's my opinion, and I want it to be your opinion today, that God's people simply are not just a people who survive and cope, but we are a people, and have always been a people, that conquer and thrive in the midst of change. Haven't you seen that to be the case as you read the Bible and as you uncover God's people from history up until today? When Israel left the land of Egypt and they crossed that sea and they went into the wilderness, can you imagine the change that took place there? And as God instructed them to build this tabernacle, they went from living in one place, knowing what was going to happen day in and day out, to going into the wilderness. Now, you see and you read about their struggles and their shortcomings. But isn't it also the case that at the end of that trial, at the end of that change, they come into the promised land, a conquering people? You see about in the New Testament, which is where we're going to be today, that as the covenant changes, after Jesus' resurrection from the death and ascension into heaven, this covenant change has taken place. And so God's people have transitioned from an old Jewish law to some murky transitional time in Jesus' life, now into the new covenant era. And so we see God's people not just coping with it, not just surviving in the midst of it, but in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we see them thriving in it. Don't you want to live a life of thriving in the midst of change and conquering the change around you? How can we conquer in the midst of change? I believe it's possible for us to thrive and to conquer by devoting ourselves to something called the spiritual disciplines. Other people call them spiritual habits because they are practices that we have to instill into our lives. But I'm going to call them spiritual disciplines because it's tempting in the midst of change, listen to me, it's tempting in the midst of change to wait for things to become stable around me. And so internally, I feel unstable, I feel unsteady, and that change has made me uncomfortable, and so I'm going to be spiritually undisciplined. And being spiritually undisciplined, I'm just going to wait, I might say internally, I'm just going to wait for things to become stable around me, for things to become steady around me. And when they become stable, and when they become steady, that's the point that I'll become spiritually disciplined. But does our Christianity, and does our discipline truly depend on the world around us, or does it depend on the faith within us? You want to conquer change. You can thrive in the midst of change. And I think it happens not by waiting on the world around you to stabilize. I believe it happens when we internalize spiritual discipline. What is spiritual discipline? They are, as described by a man named Don Whitney, the habits of devotion, habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since Bible times. And these habits of devoting myself, these habits of experiencing Christianity, allow me to become a spiritually disciplined person. Reading about them in Scripture, I find several things in the New Testament. Fasting, praying, meditating on the Scriptures. A life of simplicity, enjoying fellowship, becoming pure and chaste, journaling, stewardship, submission. You can read the list on the screen that you're viewing right now, and there could be several more. Here's what I want to do. I want to talk about people who have been living a life where for much too long their lives would be described as spiritually undisciplined. And for much too long have they been waiting on things around them to settle down and things to become stable for them. You see, that is not a conquering spiritual lifestyle. And so don't you want to rise above the uncertainty? And don't you want to become more than just someone who waits and copes and survives? You want to come to the Lord and become a spiritually disciplined person. Now, how do you do this? You need to understand, first off, what it means to become a spiritually disciplined person. And I believe if we can come to terms with what it means to become spiritually disciplined, we can see this season of change as our training ground for true discipleship. When Jesus said, "Go and make disciples," he was talking to a group of disciples that he originally had a conversation with and said this, "Leave that lifestyle, come and follow me." He asked and challenged a group of men to become spiritually disciplined in an undisciplined world around them. And Jesus is asking the same thing of you today. And so I want you to shift in your mind and in your heart today. Let this be a transition Sunday for you. You're not waiting on everything else around you. You're not banking on the steadiness of the economy around you. You are internalizing a mindset that Jesus challenged his apostles with to thrive, to conquer, to become a true disciple. This transition Sunday is the day that marks a shift. That this season of change has become our training ground for true discipleship. I want to take you to three passages to show you spiritual discipline, to challenge you to live a life of spiritual discipline, which I believe is true discipleship. Those three places, if you're taking notes and want to mark it down, maybe even access these verses later in the week. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And then we're going to shift into 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to conclude with 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. So can you take those three stops? Go with me on those three stops, if you will. The first place, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Now that's what they did. Here is the result of what they did. "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common." This was beautiful. "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Notice that day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." That's the result of what they did. But what did they do? I want to clue in on a couple of things back from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Watch how it describes spiritual discipline. You see, spiritual discipline, first off, is personal and congregational. It's something that I have to do so that we can become a spiritually disciplined body of Christ. Notice that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They had to do this. And in order for they to do it, each individual had to do it. It's the uniqueness of what it means to be a Christian. It's kind of like the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Spirit dwells within each individual and thusly dwells within the congregation. And so it's individual and collective. Well, spiritual discipline, it's individual and it becomes collective. If I want to influence my church family to become spiritually disciplined, it's got to start with me. It's personal, so it can then become congregational. And it's active. Notice that they devoted themselves to this. And in their devotion, what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. What did that require? Listening, studying, meditating, praying on it, and then practicing those things that the apostles taught. And to the fellowship. What did that require? Active communication and connection with people. So they devoted themselves personally, so it became congregational. And this was an activity. Notice that any activity is by nature active. And so this week in your life, if you want to start down the road of spiritual discipline, becoming a true disciple, you need to be active personally so we can be active congregationally. Spiritual discipline is active. It's not just something that you do, however. You see, you can do the spiritual disciplines, this giant list that I had before you of fasting, praying, fellowship, purity, stewardship, study. You can do all of those things in a Pharisaical manner, which means I'm doing it outwardly, but I'm not really devoting myself to it inwardly. You see, spiritual discipline is more than just being active to do it. Spiritual discipline is doing it so you can become it. The beauty of the spiritual disciplines is that they transform you individually so it can transform us congregationally. The process and the journey of becoming spiritually disciplined through these spiritual habits is being like Jesus. We're eventually going to get to the text of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where it talks about rather training yourself for godliness. Train yourself to become like the Father or the incarnate image of Him, Jesus. The goal is not just to do to get it done. The goal is to do them so I can become. It's personal, so it can become congregational. It's active, not just so that I can do something, so that God can transform me into something that glorifies Him. The spiritual disciplines are also only what's found in the Bible. You know, here's the temptation. Some people might say this. You know, that whole Bible memorization thing, I know it works for you. Or that whole Bible study thing, it works for you. Or that whole praying thing, it works for you. Or that whole waking up 20 minutes before I have to in the morning so that you can meditate, devote, and connect to God. Well, that may work for you, but let me tell you, gardening does that for me. Or exercise does that for me. You see, while those things may work for you, here's what works for me. This is the problem with the mindset that some people are tempted to say when they say, well, maybe meditation on Scripture works for you, but since gardening does just as much for my soul as the Bible does for your soul, then I'll just become disciplined in gardening or in exercise or insert whatever hobby that some people might think causes them to become a true disciple of Christ. Well, this is the issue and the problem. We are then left to determine what will be best for our spiritual health and maturity rather than accepting what God has already determined is best for us in our spiritual growth and maturity. And do you want to be left alone to figure that out for yourself, or would you rather devote yourself, like you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, to what God has already determined? You see, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Where did the apostles get it? They got it straight from the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. Where did the Holy Spirit get it? From the Father in John chapter 16. And what did the Father send to the earth? The Word becoming flesh, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and also verse 14. It's only what's found in the Bible. And so I don't want to hear this, that might work for you, but my hobby works good for me. That's not what God has determined for His people. And don't you want to be a spiritually disciplined person? Don't you want to conquer and thrive? Don't you want to see this season of change as a training ground for true discipleship? If you accept the challenge that Jesus laid out to the apostles, and now that God is laying out before us today, you will know it's personal, it's active, and it's only what's found in the Bible. And as you accept this challenge, you will then discover and find out that, as a matter of fact, these spiritual disciplines that are only found in the Bible, they are absolutely sufficient for knowing God, for experiencing God, and growing in Christ-likeness. You're familiar with the popular verses of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What is? Scripture is sufficient, complete. It's enough to challenge, change, and transform you to becoming a spiritually disciplined person in this training ground for true discipleship. Doesn't that just get you excited? If you're at home, man, I know you're not with me right now, but somebody just say amen at home. Accept this challenge and see what God has planned for you and for us in the midst of this change, not just to cope, but to conquer, not just survive, but to thrive. A training ground for true discipleship. I want you to see that spiritual disciplines, not only are they personal and active, not only are they just what's found in the Bible, and not only are they sufficient for knowing and experiencing God and growing in Christ's likeness, they are the essence of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel, we might say, is the good news. And it absolutely is the good news. But my question to you is, what is the good news? And the good news is, as Jesus came to earth, He came to be King and Lord. The good news, aka the gospel, is that Jesus reigns as King. And if King, He should be placed on the throne room and in the throne room of our hearts. And if Jesus is King and Lord, and we submit ourselves in love and honor and respect to Him, when we devote ourselves to the spiritual disciplines, it's not something that is separate from the gospel, as if the gospel are the ABCs of Christianity, and now I'm diving into the spiritual disciplines, which are deeper and much more meaningful. No, spiritual disciplines are the essence of the gospel. Of placing Jesus as King and Lord in my life, and therefore I'm devoted to becoming a spiritually disciplined individual. And as I do that and devote myself to that as the Christians did in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, what I find is they are a means to an end and not an end themselves. Notice in the text, as Mark read, put away all this stuff. The malice, the deceit, hypocrisy, the envy, and the slander. Get rid of it. And like newborn infants, meaning pure, clean, new. Long for the pure spiritual milk. That by it, what is it? It's the pure spiritual milk, which is an analogy for Scripture, you know, the all Scripture is breathed out by God, the all-sufficient Scripture, the Word of the Lord that Jesus said He is and that He spoke, that the Spirit inspired the apostles to record so we can have the words of God transcribed for us, that by it you may grow up into salvation if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. You see, I taste the Lord when I devote myself to the spiritual disciplines of life. They are a means to the end of becoming more like Christ and tasting the Lord my God. And as you come to Him, you see, that's what the spiritual disciplines are, a means to an end of coming to Him. You are a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And notice how in verse 5 of this text in 1 Peter 2, it describes that this is the transformative process. You know, the training ground for true discipleship. You know, the time in which God is changing us from the inside out as we are transitioning today, not from the outside in, but from the inside out, becoming a spiritually disciplined people. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones,
You're being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Isn't it beautiful? The challenge that God's laid out to His people. And the third stop of the journey, the middle of verse 7. Rather, train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Why? Because it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Will you allow this season of change to be your training ground for true discipleship? Will you allow this season of change to be the time in which you overcome the uncertainty and the unsteadiness of life? Not just to cope and survive, but to conquer and to thrive. Will you do it with spiritual discipline? Because doing so will bring value to your life in every way, as it holds not only value in this life, but the life to come. I know you want to thrive. And I also know that God is by your side. Will you accept the call? Will you take a stand as Jesus has given the challenge? And when you realize we don't just want to cope, we want to conquer. This is Transition Sunday, and it might need to be a time in your life that it becomes a transition from I'm kind of on the fence about this Christianity thing to I'm all in. This might need to be a transition for you within your heart, within your mind, within your life, that you're out, but because of the message and because of what God has done in Jesus being the Lord of our life, you want to become in. And if you want to get in, you have to start by deciding to come to Him. How do you do it? In repentance and in obedience, confessing that you've tried to live life on your own and you can do it no longer. Give your life to Christ. Contact us. Contact me. I would love to help you become immersed into Jesus and let God save you. This might need to be a transition for you. A simple mindset change. You've been playing the pity card and the woe is me. Things are crazy around me. I'm going to wait for it to get better. No, no. Transition Sunday for you might mean you accept the fact that this is our training ground for true discipleship. And in the midst of this change, watch how God will cause you to, Romans 8:37, conquer and thrive and not simply survive. Let's pray together. God, we pray that we will be a people who thrives in the midst of uncertainty and change, that we will be a people who see and submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus, and we conquer because of what You've done in Jesus and because of what Jesus has done in us. And as we continue to transform and to change, Father, we pray that we'll have a mindset that sees this season as a training ground for true discipleship. And we will rise to the challenge. We will answer the call. And we will showcase to the world that when uncertainty is amongst us, we are even more confident and faithful that You will empower us. And so we pray we live a life of power, of love, of discipleship. And whoever it is, that person right now who's praying this prayer with me, Father, we pray that You would prick their hearts and Your Spirit will prick them, whether it's concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, as Jesus talked about, that they will do what it takes, take the steps necessary to let You save them. And however we can help, Father, we pray that we're there courageously and lovingly. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine. Make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me. I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
As we close this morning with song and prayer, we hope you have a good week. Hope you stay safe and that you stay well. And please be listening up for any announcements as far as our services are concerned in the weeks that are ahead. Hope you have a good week.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. And the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessings upon us today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship in this manner in our homes, watching a technology streamed live from our building into our homes with our families, Lord. We just thank you for this blessing that we can still somehow worship together in spirit. We thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we pray that we become more spiritually disciplined. We pray that this congregation will, once we're able to get back together again, that we will be able to be more united, more spiritually disciplined, and love one another as you would have us love each other and love you. Lord, we pray for the sick of this congregation and those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones. Please comfort them as only you can, dear Lord. We pray for our government, the local city officials, and our state and our federal government, Lord, our president. We pray for all of them during this very stressful time in our country and throughout the world, dear Lord. Please be especially be with our healthcare workers, the safety, public safety folks, and the first responders as they're on the front lines dealing with this illness. And we just pray for their safekeeping, dear Lord. Lord, pray that you be with us throughout this coming week. Help us to do all things to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.